Okay, so hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Default Global. This is where we connect with global first entrepreneurs, remote work experts from all around the world. And our guest today is Ramis Golubevas, Chief People and Culture Officer at Mailer Light. Ramis, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Vid. Thanks for having me in your podcast, and I'm super excited to share our company's story and experience in hiring talents globally and building remote culture.
That's awesome. In fact, it's fantastic to have you on the show. And before we dive into the world of Mailer Light and global hiring, maybe could you share a bit about your journey and what led you to become the Chief People and Culture Officer at your company?
Absolutely. My name is Ramis, and I'm from company Mailer Light. And almost for entire professional career, I've been working with customer face roles. So helping people was my labor of love. So I always love, you know, helping other people. And this is how almost 8 years ago I've joined this company as a customer support representative. So my task was, you know, to make sure that our users are happy, they know the product, and they enjoy it. So I truly believe that when you enjoy and love your work, you become really successful. So in a couple of years, I became a team lead. So my responsibilities switched from users to making sure that people in the team are knowledgeable and happy and they do their work the best they can. And after that, you know, I've been honored, you know, and offered, you know, to, instead of taking care of one team, to take care of entire company, you know, and make sure that, you know, everyone in different teams, regardless of their jobs, they do it with passion, with a positive mindset. And that's how I became a Chief People and Culture Officer. And I've been in this role for almost a year, and I'm still in a learning process because it's really a vast role, and, you know, you have to learn a lot of things.
Yeah, that's awesome, and you definitely need to learn a lot of things because, as far as I know, your company has this impressive global presence, 40 countries, right? Like including Lithuania,
yes.
Poland, Honduras, the United States, Portugal, Serbia, Spain, and I guess I missed like another 35. So
yeah,
with that, can you maybe share a few words about the company itself? What do you guys do there?
Mm-hmm. So our company is actually a software as a service type of company. So we provide a subscription-based advanced email marketing solutions. So we help from small businesses and sole entrepreneurs to big organizations, you know, to help them with the email marketing channel. And we offer multiple tools. So we're super lucky, you know, that we did the right steps in the past and we become a global player. So we are known around the world. We have customers from 160 countries. And like you said, our team is also very diverse from Asia to South and North America, you know. So we're really a truly global company. We've always been a remote first company. So it's more than 10 years already. Even before it was cool, you know, now everybody...
Yeah.
You know, is working remotely, having hybrid versions, but we've always been remote first. And I think we've developed an amazing culture. And I'd like to take this opportunity and give a shout out to one of our founders, Ilma, who wrote a really interesting book, which is called Leaving the Base Camp, which actually explains how we function and what steps have we took, you know, to be here. Now
that's awesome. I'll make sure that I'll include like a link to that book to this episode. So let's then talk about your global presence, right? And I would like maybe to start with acquiring talents itself in different regions and your strategy, because I'm really curious how you see this. So finding and hiring talent from around the world is definitely a key part of your success, from my understanding, as a success as a company, right? So in terms of selecting markets for specific roles or skills, how does your company approach this decision-making process?
Mm-hmm. I would say that we take a little bit different approach, and instead of, focusing on markets or, continents, we focus on skills and personalities that we want to hire, because there are many talents around the world, and even in, small or very little countries, you can find amazing people. So one of the most important factors for us, we put our values forefront. We add them in our job postings. We share on our blog, website, and everywhere where it's possible, because we truly believe that if we find people that match our values and we have a lot of things in common, then the rest becomes much more easier. So to answer your question and to sum up, is that we focus on actually people, personality, skills, rather than, continents and countries. So
It
since
totally
we
makes
have,
sense.
yeah, and since
Yeah,
we have,
go on.
we're this in this position, since we are really like well-established brand and a known brand, and especially in remote community. So for us, it's kind of easy, to get attention from talents around the world, because they really want to experience this culture, and work with us.
And that's awesome. But you still, again, according to your LinkedIn, you still have some hubs like Lithuania, Poland, right? What else? Like Spain, I guess, in that list, Portugal. So, with that, I have a question. Are there specific regions you target for certain expertise after you start hiring, like after you hired first people there? So, for instance, like recently, I had a, had a, I had another episode with my another guest, who was a founder of marketing agency, and she told me that she's hiring like designers only like in Ukraine because she thinks that that's the best like a place for designers. They're so creative and so on. And she started doing that after she hired like the first person from that specific country. So from your point of view, are there any specific hubs where you just think that in this country or in this region? This region is really cool, like in terms of specific expertise, or you didn't have such idea in the gut.
Yes, to be completely honest with you, no, we don't have, such, I don't know, countries or markets. And like I said, we mostly focus on skills and personalities. I have like an interesting story to tell. I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we hired a first person from Honduras. We never had any experience with Honduras, but that person was a great personality. He had great skills and great motivation to join our company. So we hired him. And he was so satisfied with the role, with the culture, and with the challenges that he had in the company that later on he recommended more people and his friends and former colleagues to join us. So eventually we ended up having around 12 people from Honduras, which wasn't like our primary focus at first. And now this country is top three country in terms of talents that we have in our company. So we don't have like specific focus on the markets because countries can surprise us. So we rather talk to people, listen to them, and then they became greatest advocates of our culture and they spread the word, in that country. So different countries became our top markets, at the end of the day.
Totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. Okay, then let's talk about other aspects of global hiring, and I'm talking about compensation strategies. Usually it's a crucial like when managing like a global team, right? Could you maybe shed some light on how your company addresses like a compensation across different regions? Do you have specific strategy for that?
Okay, so before answering this question, I really have to say that transparency plays the key role, in the remote cultures. And we're super transparent with everything we do inside the company. So starting from policies to compensation. When it comes to compensation, we have like a global framework, which means we We might have some slight adjustments to the regions, but in general, the compensation is pretty much the same regardless of the country. So we have like a matrix of levels and steps with the descriptions of what kind of, skills are needed, to progress over the years. And everyone can see the entire matrix and can, like project their growth in the company in terms of reward and compensation. And this compensation, I would say that is really generous, even, just comparing to the most competitive markets. So, plus, since we're a remote company and people, can decide on the location they will want to stay, and nowadays when there are digital nomad visas available, so some of our team members, they just moved to countries with a better, tax environment, and they work from there.
And you do not change the compensation structure of the person that, for example, moved from one country to another one. You don't have such
No,
policy.
no, no. Of course, I do understand, that there is no like perfect, compensation scheme, right? We stick, to like general framework because, the more adjustments you have, then it raises even more, like questions and maybe system becomes complicated. And the reason we are called MailerLite because the word light represents our philosophy. We want to have everything as simple as possible, so it's easy to implement, easy to make actions. So we have general compensation scheme and apply it to everyone.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. And yeah, I remember that one of your principles is keeping it simple, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. It's one of
So
our
you.
core values.
Okay. Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. No, because the majority of companies that we work with and like in general, like they have their compensation is based on the location of a specific person, right? So, but. Like your approach is, I guess, better. So
And
I
actually,
like it very much.
our compensation is focused on the responsibilities and tasks that the person is doing, his impact on the team and the company rather than location, So if you are doing a certain task, so it's just for us
Yeah.
at least, we disregard, like the
It is fair.
location, but we rather focus on the role and the tasks.
Yeah, it's fair. What tools do you use to track compensation benefits, just to stay competitive? Do you have do you use maybe Carta or Oyster or Deel or stuff like that?
So for the compensation, all people that work at MailerLite, they are working on a contract basis. So they have contracts with our entity in the United States, and they take care, of their own taxes, like in the location they are currently residents. So we don't have a particular, like tool for that compensation. But we use other tools. We use HR. For HR, we use a Bamboo HR tool, which we handle all the information about our employees. We also use Notion for all our internal policies. And of course, we use Slack for our intentional communication because since we are remote, so the written communication is like the main channel for us, to work on projects and, deal with our colleagues around the world.
And do you use any specific ATS system as we started talking about this?
What
So
is
maybe Green
ATS system?
applicant applicant tracking system like Greenhouse or something like that.
Yes, we are using Recruitee tool. So this is the tool which is like a database of all the candidates that apply, for the roles. But I think one thing that stands out, that makes, MailerLite stand out from other competitors is that we are fully in control of the entire hiring process from A to Z. Because we think, and I truly believe that the time and energy that we invest into hiring people pays off at the later stages. So, and everyone in the team at some point at a certain stage, they are involved in the hiring because we want, to meet people, we want to match their expectations, what kind of company they're joining, so that we can build long-lasting, fruitful relationship.
That's awesome, in fact. How does MailerLite manage the cultural aspects of hiring in different countries? Because like 40 countries, Asia, from Asia to Latin America to Europe, it's just very different. I know that for sure because we work with 22 countries, and yeah, sometimes it might be challenging. So how do you deal with that? Do you have any specific, tips or advice that you can give?
So when I started like this interview, I mentioned, like intentionally about our values because all our success, I think it's based on the values. And I think those values are very simple, but at the same time, they really show what kind of people are joining MailerLite. So if you are all positive, so you're positive in Asia, you're positive, in Europe, in America. So we really like focus on the values. And during the hiring, we try to check what kind of values and motivation people have. And when hiring people, we do not accept resumes. We ask them to send us a newsletter using our tool. So to show their creativity skills, writing skills. And I think this very first wow effect for people that are going through hiring process and then eventually becoming our team members, it builds really strong connections. And also during the onboarding, we try to build for them as many connections as possible because then they have a really wide network of colleagues they know. And for them, it's easier to navigate through our company, to feel comfortable. And since we have a lot of people from Asia, from Africa, so they find their, like colleagues from the same region, so they can, consult, talk to them. And this is how the diversity becomes our strength, in seeking for highest goals.
Okay, that's cool, but can we go a bit deeper in terms of how to recognize that specific person has same like a set of values that your company? Can you go deeper into this interviewing process and how you recognize this part specifically?
So, the newsletter is really a great filter, to identify those values because newsletter actually, like I said, it shows person's creativity, and we have certain questions that we want people to answer. So, for example, what makes you happy? What do you enjoy doing? Of course, like those required skill sets that is needed for a role is a must. But on top of that, we ask what do they enjoy doing in their free time? Which values from MailerLite resonate the most and why? And when they have to create a newsletter, they take time to do that. They think over the design, the text, and then when we get those newsletters, it really tells even more, than the resumes, what kind of personality. And of course, afterwards, when we select certain candidates, we do a test assignment. We send them a test assignment. And after the test assignment, team leads, they take over the hiring process and they invite those finalists to the interview. So basically, the candidate has an opportunity to meet not only a person from people and culture, to get acquainted with our product, but also meet the team members that he will be working directly. So we have like multiple layers to check if it's a right fit for us or not. So basically, that's our hiring process in short works.
Okay, cool. That sounds cool. Let's talk then about values specifically, right? So one of the core value of your company is that you're kind of encouraging people to take responsibility, right?
Yes.
Not just
yes.
In success, but also in acknowledging and like acknowledging mistakes promptly, right? So
yes.
how has this culture of accountability impacted the team dynamics and the overall maybe success of your company?
Mm-hmm. So it's very important to mention that when we hire a person to join our company, we give a trust credit. By making a decision to hire, we tell to that person that you are the best one for this role. And that's it. I mean, it's really this credit motivates a lot of people because we give them challenges, we give them projects and leave them to do those projects, right? So
okay.
it's funny thing, an interesting thing that was mentioned in Ilma's book is that an example was children. So when, you know, children know that their parents are looking at us, they are more likely to make mistakes, you know, but then when they know that nobody's watching them, they're 100% focused. So we kind of apply a very similar approach in our company. So we really trust our people. We encourage them to take bets and to own their projects, because one of the ways that we generate new ideas is we encourage people to initiate bets, to describe their projects, to pitch those projects to the rest of the team and own them. So basically, everyone becomes an owner of his own project, of his own initiative, and they are even more motivated and focused to accomplish that. So that's how, you know, this responsibility thing, you know, really is ingrained in our culture.
And I really like that. Really like that. I was going to ask you, how do you balance like a management of that team with this, giving them this responsibility? But I guess you answered this question. You are just looking for the right person just at the beginning, right? To look for those who are ready to take this responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, this totally makes sense. There are two more like call value items that I found out is the first one is everyone is leader. Like I guess it's similar to what we talked about like just a second ago, and the second one, keeping it simple, right? Can you talk more about those two values and how you see them in a daily life of your company?
So as you already know, and your listeners already know that, you know, we are a remote first company, so we really communicate a lot, you know, and sometimes, you know, we might get lost, you know, in communication, in, you know, pages of text and stuff like that. So the reason we keep it simple is to save everyone's time, you know, and to make the process easier itself. So all the communication, all the projects, all the initiatives, we try, you know, to simplify and to have a, how to say, intention behind it. Not just, you know, throw out ideas without even thinking about them, because it's not like a good, you know, approach. So that's why the simplicity is also like one of our values, because you have to respect your colleagues. You have to spend enough time and research and prepare your bet or initiative so that others don't need, you know, to waste their time trying to understand what are you proposing. Instead, they just focus on the main idea and the solutions for that idea. So, and even our product, you know, is known in the industry for its simplicity, but at the same time being advanced and having lots of features to offer.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, Remus, I guess it's been great learning for how like your company builds this worldwide team and creates a special, really special company culture. And before we finish, any tips for other leaders who want to focus on their people and grow their teams around the world?
It's a good question because I've also, found myself, so what kind of advice I would like to get. So one thing that I would really advise is, since there are a lot of, suggestions online, but truly, not to rush to copy paste, practices from other organizations, but rather, focus on what's important for your organization and, build the foundation and the values. Like, agree with the team, with the members, which values are the most important, because then they will be like a North Star, for everything you're going to do in the future, be it a product development or looking for the new members. And to, like to praise one of our values, not to be afraid to transform and experiment, because business success, there's no elevator in the business success, right? So you can just go to the success place in one go. You have to take stairs, So I would suggest the leaders in this industry, like in this role, not to be afraid to experiment, to try things, even things that do not work out the way you want it, they're still a good lesson for you, and then you become much better person, much better professional, and you can, help your team grow even further.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for sharing your insights. We wish you and your company all the best in your global journey. Stay safe.
Thank you very much, and all the best to you.